the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Having fun on this program. And guess what? You got like an hour almost of more fun. It is back. We are back with more Bucket Strategy Investing. Brain Trust is here again, standing by to help you out. Professor Rick Plum here with me, Johnny Dean, as always, from Lucia Capital Group for another hour. Got more money strategies headed your way, so you can add to the mix. You get your question into us right now. Best way to do that is to give us a call, because we're going to take calls first. 877-PLANNER, our number. 877-752-6637 spells out PLANNER. We have just a couple of lines open for you right now. WealthEd.com, that's our website. So if you have any questions or comments you'd like to put out in written form, you just go to the link where it says find your answer, and you can easily take it from there. We make it very easy for you. WealthEd, our website, your resource for many, if not most of the topics that we discuss on this particular program. So once again, our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. We do talk strategy on this show. We've been doing that all day. We talk bucket strategy investing. If you don't have a strategy, your retirement funds could be at risk, all right? It's like not having a roadmap to navigate you through whatever, you know, landmines or whatever. I don't know. Call Professor Plum or anyone at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. That's their off-air number. Have them look at what you have, and they'll design a bucket strategy that is specifically tailored to meet your needs. Ask yourself the question, are your retirement goals being met? If not, or if you're unsure about anything that's in your plan, anything that you have, you give us a call right here. Brain Trust will tell you if you're on the right track. Again, off the air, it's 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Going to take your calls first, and we have a few more things left over from a previous topic having to do with the accumulation and distribution phases of retirement. There's a new designation for this even. We'll talk about that from the financial planning whatever. What is it? The financial planning?
The American College.
There you go. The American College. Okay. Great team. 877-PLANNER, our number. Let's move along to Cal in a wonderful place, Stuart, Florida. Hi, Cal.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. I have a question. I get a lot of newsletters on my computer regarding legislation changing the law on H.R. 1314,
right,
which is in regard to Social Security, and I'm told it's going to hurt senior citizens very much.
Actually, it's going to hurt younger people more.
Pardon?
It'll hurt younger people more than it hurts current senior citizens.
Well, do you understand the law? I don't even understand it.
Oh yeah. How old are you, Cal?
79.
It has no impact on you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's good to hear, because every newsletter says, send us $49 and we'll tell you what you can do to save your Social Security.
What are they, Cal, can I ask you what they're telling you before Professor Plum tells you what's going on here? What are they saying?
Well, they're saying the government is changing that law that was presented by President Reagan.
That is true. It wasn't Reagan, though.
They keep on saying President Reagan. And they don't say exactly what changes are being made. You have to pay that newsletter.
Okay. I will tell you the changes that are made. Now, there have been some changes to Medicaid and Medi-Cal, but there's really nothing you can do about it. It's just a matter of reimbursement. And it's going to hurt doctors more than it hurts the people on Medicare. Where they've changed the benefits. In the past, we've had the ability for somebody who reached their full retirement age but wanted to let their benefit grow until age 70, that individual could have filed for a benefit and suspended it and still allowed a spouse to pull a benefit from their work record, a child to pull a benefit from their work record, somebody else to pull a benefit from their work record. As of May 1st of this year, that's gone. If you do not file and suspend, which means if you're not full retirement age by the end of April this year and apply and suspend for your benefit, those benefits of allowing somebody else to draw from it are gone. That doesn't affect you. The other thing is what's known as the restricted application, where I could, at full retirement age, choose to take only a spousal retirement benefit, even if it was lower than my own, without applying for my own first, letting my own benefit grow until age 70. For anybody who was not 62 by the end of 2015, they no longer have that option. Again, it doesn't affect you. So for people who are either under 62 right now or who were planning on doing the file and suspend but won't be at an appropriate age by May 1st, those are the people that are going to be affected by the new laws. Anybody who's already on Social Security, both spouses are on Social Security, doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. They're not taking anything away. I've heard and I've seen the emails. The government just stole $62,000 from you. No, it didn't. For some people, it took away the ability for them to enhance their benefit by up to $62,000 if they live long enough. But for somebody already on Social Security, and I hate the idea that they're scaring you on this, it doesn't affect you. I'm pleased to announce that you are not affected by that law.
Well, I knew I would get a correct answer from you because I listen to your show all the time, and
thank
it's
you.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Cal. We appreciate the call. We should talk about this more, I guess, although it's hard for us to
the
gauge.
The emails are out there. The scare tactics are out there.
Well, okay, now, I think here's why. You mentioned $60,000. The file and suspend strategy, along with the restricted application, when you couple them together, the way it used to be, if you had the top Social Security benefit, you could, in essence, have received what amounted to about a $60,000 of extra income doing that strategy. And then you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, somebody right now who is 66, where they believe that both of them, or somebody 66, who wants to defer taking their benefit until age 70. If they do it today, if they file and suspend today, their spouse, same age, let's assume the spouse has no Social Security benefit, could be receiving $1,300 a month or so, give or take, for the next 4 years, even though the worker is not receiving their benefit. That extra money accounts to about $62,000. If you can't do that, that same person who's not 66 right now, who turns 66 in May or later, their spouse won't be able to take a benefit from their work record until that worker actually gets to age 70 and actually applies for their benefit. So that person who was born too late just gave up the ability for their spouse to get $62,000 in that example. Now, it's not exaggerated necessarily, but you do have to be at the higher end of the wage scale to be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
And it still requires longevity. So I had planned on doing the file and suspend benefit when I got out to 67, and I'm not going to be able to do it. So my wife is not going to be able to get a benefit from my work record until I'm 70, when I turn my, hopefully they still enhance it at that point, enhanced age 70 benefit on.
Well, unless you took your benefit at age 67 or whatever.
Right, or at any time before that.
Yeah, she would not be able to get a benefit from you.
Not until I apply.
Without you having applied, and once you've applied, you're getting your benefit.
And I will be able to suspend my benefit. They haven't taken my ability to suspend my benefit away. What they did was they took the ability of somebody else to draw from my work record if I have suspended my benefit. So when I suspend my benefit, if I do not suspend it by May 1st, not only do I not receive a benefit, but anybody else receiving a benefit from my work record, they're kaput too.
So, and it is a little complicated if you don't follow it. Here's who it does not affect, Professor Plum. Let's say, here's who this new law does not affect. Anyone who is currently, well, okay, we got two ages here.
Uh-huh.
You do it.
Well, we've got the file and suspend. If you have already filed and suspended your benefit, or if you will file and suspend your benefit before May 1st.
Which means you're already over.
Which means you have to be full retirement age to voluntarily suspend it. It doesn't affect you. But now, if you are over full retirement age, but don't suspend until, it's all about the suspension. You have to suspend it before May 1st. It starts with an M. If I am full retirement age and I suspend after May, nobody gets the benefit of my work record while I'm suspended. But if I suspend by May 1st, I have all rights, rules, and privileges of the old rules, the old laws. That's the file and suspend side. Now, on the restricted application side, we were never allowed to do a restricted application until we got to full retirement age anyway. So what they're saying now is that if you are born at the right time, meaning if you were born if you were 62 before the end of 2015, so basically born in 1953 or earlier, when you do get to full retirement age, you still have the option of doing a restricted application.
And the restricted application is where you can apply only for the spousal benefit and not touch yours, allow yours to continue to grow.
You get to choose to take one versus the other. The way it is now for anybody under, the way it has always been for anybody under full retirement age, and the way it will be for anybody who was not 62 by the end of 2015 is when you apply, you are applying for every benefit you're eligible for. You get the higher one no matter what. You can't choose which one to take.
That's right. You're going to take yours first. And if the spousal is higher than yours, then
you can get that too. But if yours is higher.
Exactly. The whole point was to not allow your benefit to continue to grow to age 70, because then you're going to have too much money, more than they intended. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing, coming right back. Taking your calls, Friday Riff Day. This is Plum playing. He can air guitar this one pretty well, couldn't you?
Drum.
Oh, drum? You don't ever air guitar? You're more of a,
I'm a drummer.
Okay. Well, either way, sounds just the same.
Yeah.
877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We got a little bit of room on the phones, 877-752-6637. I'll take a couple more calls. We'll remind you in a little while where the Brain Trust is going to be. You can meet the Brain Trust in person and get your retirement questions answered. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. But let's get back to the phone lines. Phoenix, Arizona, Rick is on the line. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I've been getting these emails. They come in different forms, but it says you can add $60,000 to your retirement program, say Social Security, and you got 3 months to file the papers. You guys know anything about that?
Oh, yeah. How old are you, Rick?
60.
You could file every paper until you're blue in the moon. You won't get the $60,000 they're talking about. You also, they forget to tell you a couple other things. First off, you have to be 66 before the end of April to do this. It all stems from, and we were talking about this with Cal the last hour, last segment, from a change in the Social Security claiming strategies, some new rules that went into effect last November where they took away some of our popular claiming strategies that we used to use to hopefully enhance our benefits over time. And one of them was the file and suspend option. They've taken that away for anybody who cannot voluntarily suspend their benefits by April of this year. So no matter what paper, you can't file and suspend today. You're not old enough to get any benefit, so therefore you can't suspend your benefit that you're not entitled to in the first place.
Yes, anybody who's under 62 can't do it anyway.
Well, anybody who's under 66 by the end of April can't do this.
Right.
So this is a way for them to get your money and basically tell you nothing.
Okay, well, you just saved me $50.
Yeah, so you can just send my 10%. No, I'm kidding. I mean,
yeah, we were just mentioning this, and I don't know, maybe you heard it, Rick. I don't know if you did or not. As we were saying, these newsletters and these emails are coming out, and they're saying, if you buy this newsletter, we're going to tell you how you can get, and you said $60,000, Rick, how you can get $60,000 worth of Social Security. And, of course, what they don't tell you is that there's such a small subset of people that would be able to do that. It's a come on is what it is.
First, you would have to be 66 by the end of April. Second, you have to want to defer taking your benefit until age 70. Third, you have to have a spouse that's eligible to take a benefit from you. And to get the $60,000+, your benefit has to be at the $2,500, $2,600 level or more to make it work.
As so, in the top levels of Social Security.
So if you're 66, if you're going to wait till 70, if your spouse can take a benefit from you, and you're at the $2,500 or more level, now we can add and file the papers and make it work for you. If none of those, if any one of those doesn't fit you, you ain't getting the $60,000 no matter how many newsletters you buy.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay. Rick, thank you for the call.
Thanks
I'm glad
for listening.
You called. Yeah. And as I said, and you just said, to get $60,000 anyway, you have to be making a whole lot of money and essentially get the top benefit that Social Security allows at age 66.
Right, and I've seen the emails. I get the emails too. You know, add $60,000 to your portfolio. Or the ones I really hate are, they're stealing $60,000 from seniors right now. you're going to lose $60,000. So they're basically sending these emails out to people who are already receiving benefits. Mm-hmm. And their benefits may only be the moderate benefits, like what the average benefit is, $1,200, $1,300 a month. And they're saying, you're going to lose $60,000. The government just stole $60,000 from you. No, they didn't.
Since we have time, let's clear up where they get the $60,000 number from, Professor Plum.
The spousal retirement benefit is equal to 50% of the worker's full retirement benefit. Not their age 70 benefit, but the worker's full retirement. And right now, the best it's going to be is in the $2,600 to $2,700 range. And so they're saying, if the best benefit is, call it $2,600, the best spousal retirement benefit is $1,300. So if you were in that category I was talking about before,
you and your
spouse are the same age, you both want to wait until age 70 to take your own benefits, or your spouse has no benefit of their own, you want to apply at age 66 so that your spouse can take a benefit from you, but you're going to suspend until age 70 so your benefit grows. Because if you apply and take your benefit, their spouse can have the benefit still under the new rules. So you're going to defer. Your spouse gets, call it $1,250 a month because your benefit was $2,500. $1,250 is easier to do the math.
I was going to say.
Okay. $1,250 puts it at $15,000 a year for 4 years, for 48 payments of $1,250 a month. $15,000 times four is $60,000. That's where they come up with the $60,000. It's about $62,400 if you want to go on $1,300.
All right, but anyway,
it's in that $60,000 range. But that's assuming that you want to defer taking your benefit. It's assuming your spouse is full retirement age. It's assuming your spouse is not taking their benefit already, where it's equal to or greater than the spousal retirement benefit, and they're not taking it away from somebody who's already receiving their benefits. If you are receiving your benefits, if you are 68, 70 years old, 75, 79, they are not taking $60,000 away from you. They're taking it away from me. Because I now do not have that option in the future.
Well, that's assuming that you had that, you know, that you
and that scenario is one I wanted to apply. Of course, with me, because my retirement age is 67, I would have only been able to get about $45,000.
You wouldn't
have
gotten the $60,000 anyway, because they've already they took that away from you and me about 10, 12, 15
no,
years
No, we
ago.
Had the option. Well, the 60, but yeah, I still had a chance to get 45.
$45,000, all right, $45,000. It used to be, I would see this at the end of, Motley Fool used to do this. They used to say, to get you to click, continue to click on their site, it used to say, the $60,000 Social Security bonus that everyone overlooks, click here. And that's what they were talking about. Now they've had to change it to, you could be missing out on some Social Security.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It has to do with your age. And it's interesting, this scenario, this file and suspend and or the restricted application, we've only had these strategies for about 15 years. They came in with the law in 2000. And so it was interesting that the email that our previous caller, Cal got, said that it was something that President Reagan put in. I think he was in office prior to 2000. Maybe
Seemed
my
to
mystery
me he left office in January of 1989.
It wasn't him. I mean, one of the last major Social Security overhauls was during the Reagan administration. But that was not what gave us these file and suspend and restricted application ideas.
No, those actually the taxation. Well, part of the taxation.
That's where we got the initial aspect of taxation.
Bill Clinton took it further and decided to tax up to 85% of it for.
But
some
it was
people.
A temporary tax. It was put in 1993 because we were having problems, and so we put a temporary tax on Social Security benefits up to potential 85%, temporary until 99, and just before. He couldn't get reelected before he left office. Why not just make this permanent? We'll make this permanent.
It was like the high school senior who carves all over his desk the day before graduation just to leave his mark, you know, and say, to heck with you guys. But, I tell you, these politicians will drive you crazy.
But a Republican administration put in the first set of taxation.
Yes, they did.
And a Democratic administration put in the second set.
Because as everybody knows, you can always tax your way to prosperity. This is how it works, folks. Tax your way to prosperity, 100% tax. All right. We got to take a break. If you have questions on anything at all, it doesn't have to be on Social Security. I've still got more to say on some of this accumulation, decumulation strategy. But whatever you have on your mind, you give us a call. You got questions, we have answers. The Brain Trust is standing by. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Coming right back. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number. You got us till the top of the hour, so join us while you can. Ask your question while you can. Also, you're probably wondering where you can see the Brain Trust in person. Yes, of course. As we've had calls on this, we've had people asking us, and it isn't that far away. I want to remind you very quickly that the Brain Trust, that the 2016 Lucia Capital Group Retirement Strategies Workshops are continuing, and the next one is coming up here on the 20th of February, featuring the folks in Las Vegas. Professor Plum will be there, Terry Keyes will be there, and the local advisors as well in Las Vegas, Saturday, February 20th. We would love to see you there. You go there, wealthed.com is where you sign up. It's free. We just want to know how many seats to put out. wealthed.com. Join us at the Renaissance Hotel in Las Vegas a week from Saturday. Then February 27th, that's a Saturday morning, Seattle, Washington, and then Phoenix, Arizona on March 12th. Again, these are all Saturdays, Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix, the next three. There will be more after that. Go to wealthed.com to find out where and sign up. I can't make any guarantees, but I'll tell you this, that you're really going to have a lot of fun and you're going to learn something. Bring your notepads because there's a lot to learn. Again, wealthed.com. Okay, speaking of Las Vegas, let's move along to Arthur. 877-PLANNER, by the way, is our number. PLANNER. Arthur is next up in Las Vegas. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, what's up?
I just have a quick Social Security question. Has there been a reduction in Social Security payments?
No.
What have you heard, Arthur?
Well, I just got my bank statement, and the contributions, mine went down $77.70, and my wife's was $78.70, less than what it has been.
Do you make more than $170,000 a year?
I don't think so.
That would be the only reason why a Social Security benefit should go down, unless they're withholding something. So I would look at the stub, if you can get a hold and go onto your Social Security account and see what happened, why they're withholding, compare last to this one. The only reason people's benefits went down from last year to this year are if they were making more than $170,000 and they were subject to the means testing of Medicare Part B, where the Medicare went up. For people who did not make over that or who are not new to Social Security, but they've been receiving Social Security a while, their benefits should not have gone down. Now, they may have changed some tax withholding. Do you do any tax withholding from your benefit check?
No.
Then you need to check and find out what went on. Purely guessing here, you may have changed your Medicare Part D and they changed the premium on Medicare Part D. I don't know. That seems like a very excessive premium. Or maybe you signed up for Medicare Part D, which is the prescriptions. But if you're making less than $170 as a married couple and you were making it less 2 years ago, you didn't have a big sale in 2014 or something that raised your income up to a much higher limit in 2014. Where they were going to means test the Medicare premiums. I don't know why they would have reduced the benefit. Benefits did not go down.
Okay, well, thank you much. I have to give them a call and find out what the story is, I guess.
If you can go online to your My Social Security account and look at a pay stub that basically shows the direct deposit, it'll show the gross amount, the Medicare premium, anything else that's happening, and then your net check that's being deposited. There should be a history of checks that you can look at last year's versus this year's, or the month that it was the bigger amount in this month, and just kind of go line by line and see, okay, what happened? And if that top number has changed, that means that they, for whatever reason, they changed your benefit. And I can't think of any reason why your benefit would have gone down. The only time I've ever seen a benefit go down is where it was accompanied by a letter of explanation that said, oh, by the way, we were paying you too much money, and so we're asking for it back now.
But both yours and your wife's went down.
Yeah, it would have only been one person's.
Yeah, both of them went down.
That's very strange. Call them, get in, figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and if you find out, will you let us know, Arthur?
Will do.
Okay, because there may be something that we have missed. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you February 20th.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. In fact, you can let us know then if you find out before then, okay?
Thank you.
All right, take care, Arthur. Thank you for the call. What gets taken out of Social Security checks are the Medicare
premiums
for B and D, right?
B, C, and D. You know.
Yeah.
But B would only have gone up if he was over the limit, or he just signed up for Medicare. But it would have been more, if he had just signed up for Medicare, it would have been more than $70.
Yeah.
It would have been $121. And if he just signed up if he changed his Medicare Part D as a dog for the prescription.
But he said he did.
But that would have changed. But still, they don't change by $70 a person that much.
No, that's
a pretty big change.
Odd. Yeah, you would want to see the stub and see where it was taken out.
You go line by line, see what changed.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a little surprised they didn't say anything about it.
And they may have, and he may have missed that letter.
Okay, that could very well be. All right, moving along, 877-PLANNER again is our number. James in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, James. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Well, I have a question that's based on bonds and having a certain percentage of your investments in bonds and looking out into the future and what you should be expecting as a return. And with the drop in interest rates over the past 25 years, and because of that, of course, the coupon rates on bonds have gone down, but also you had a pretty good kicker from capital gains.
Very good.
Drop. How do you evaluate what you ought to have in bonds now and the return you should expect from them without buying an individual bond?
Well, then you're looking at bond funds, and so the idea would be to have more of a strategic type portfolio, because you're just not going to expect a great deal of return out of a bond portfolio. But the idea of adding bond or bond funds to your portfolio is to try to lessen the volatility of the overall portfolio. And so we're looking at different time horizons. When we're looking at it, we're looking at time horizons. Money that I need to spend in the next couple of years needs to be extremely safe. Even to the extent of this year, the money I need to spend over the next 12 to 18 months should be in cash, almost, if not all cash, because there's just too much volatility in anything else. That to get a better rate of return than cash over a one-year period of time requires some amount of risk, and there's a pretty reasonable likelihood that I don't even get back what I put into it over a one-year period of time. So we do things in stages, and we evaluate them out over a period of time horizons. And so looking at a bond portfolio, having bonds that act differently, have some bonds that are maybe a little credit sensitive, have some bonds that are not interest sensitive, maybe a floating rate bond, having some, just having a myriad of different bonds. But your expectation from a bond portfolio is going to be in the 2-3% range, not much higher. And that's if you have it for a couple of years. It's much easier to evaluate individual bonds than it is to evaluate bond funds, because at least then you can hold that bond, that individual bond, to maturity. So you know basically exactly what you're going to get if you hold it to maturity. But evaluating bond funds, it does take a little bit of effort. It's not that we don't want bonds in our portfolio, but we're reevaluating our expected returns on everything. You can't look at historical returns, especially in the bond area, and say, well, this bond fund has averaged, 8-10% a year for the past 30 years. But as you mentioned, a lot of that came from A, much higher coupon rates in the past, and B, capital gains on the bonds when interest rates went down. We don't expect that to continue.
And that's where I was getting to. I don't want to do individual bonds, but I wanted to maintain an allocation of the into some types of bonds.
So what you can do,
the 7-10 year range, but
perfect. And what you can do is do some things that are alternatives to bonds, and because the expectation for bonds is relatively low, we can use other types of accounts that either have guarantees of the principal or near guarantees or some kind of buffer to be able to give ourselves the potential for the same or better rate of return that a bond fund would give us with less volatility, less risk. A fixed index annuity, if we can get cap rates that are reasonable, 5-6% cap rates, make sense over that 5-7 year period of time. even a structured capital product where you have a buffer on the downside. They're all interest-bearing accounts. The fixed index annuity, the principal is guaranteed, and then there's interest paid to it each year based on the performance of an index. You know, when the index is positive, you get paid an interest rate. When the index is negative, you just don't get an interest for that year. Considering historical issues, the stock market is up more years than it's down. You expect to get interest payments of 4%, 5%, 6% in the good years and none in the bad years. You should average about 3% or 4% with no volatility. Or a structured product where the first 10% of the downturn doesn't affect you, or you can do 20% buffers, 30% buffers. But everything that you do to limit the downside limits your upside as well. So if you wanted to get a cap rate of 8 or 9, maybe, we'd have to look at them. You could say if the market is down anywhere from 0 to 10 over my measuring period, usually contract year to contract year, I don't lose anything. If it goes down more than 10%, then I'm in a loss position for the excess loss. If I'm in the upside, I get an 8 or 9% interest rate. Those make a lot of sense as bond alternatives in today's world.
Yeah, hey, James, I got to take a break. If you have some more questions or you want to learn more about this, hold on a second. We can bring you back on the other side. We just got to take a break. So 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, got a little bit of room on the phones and only a little bit of time. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy. There we go.
Friday.
Waiting for it on a Friday. Stand by. I think it was last week we got Rickrolled.
No, don't even attempt that.
Well, it's
no.
Too late now because it's our last return bump.
They've and got then, control that we don't know about. They've got powers.
Okay. Well, they made up for it with faces, and now we're doing it again. Okay. That's nice. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking you to the top of the hour. Okay. Oh, that's right. Now, we were talking to James before the break in Vancouver, and I think James has a few more questions. You still with us, James?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks for hanging on. Go right ahead.
I was interested in hearing more about the buffered notes, other structured products, because it's been a couple years since I heard you say anything about them, Professor Plum, and I thought that they were out of favor for a while because of the low rates. Is it time to start looking at those again?
Well, the rates had come down, the cap rates, the amount of interest that you could earn on any given year, had come down in relation to the interest rates on the bond market. But now bond markets have come down so far that the cap rates, while they've only expanded a little bit, they're in a better relationship to other investments now. So they make more sense again. They're not as high as I would like them. I'd like to see them 10 and 12%. But I think you can get in the 5 range or so, maybe that area for a 5, 6, 7 year index annuity. And so that's on an annual basis. But right now, the cap rates on these buffered products, where you do accept some amount of risk.
Yeah, explain how those work really quickly, if you would, for people that don't know.
Well, there's a downside protector, and the downside protector is the buffer. And so it is still an interest-bearing account. You're still not invested in the security itself. However, it does have some potential risk to principal. So I put in X amount of dollars. If the index that I'm comparing to, that I'm using to create the return, and there's lots of different things, Russell, there's even energy and other things. If the index is positive, my cap rates are a lot higher than a typical guaranteed account fixed index annuity. So they may be 6, 7, 8% instead of 4 and 5% on the upside. But on the downside, I'm going to accept some potential risk. And what happens is if the index over the measuring period is down 10%, if I have a 10% buffer, if it's down 10% or less, I don't lose anything. I don't earn anything because it's not a positive return on the index, but I don't lose anything. Now, if I have a 10% buffer and the market, whatever that index is down for my measuring period is down 15%, I lose 5 because I lose the excess over and above the buffer. So we look at that, but then with the other side of it is at the end of the first measuring period, if I'm down, market's down 15, my account's down 5. That's now the starting point for looking at the next measuring period. So now we go again to the next period. Is the market up or down? But I'm starting from that lower number to determine whether it's going to be up or down. I don't go back to the original number. So it is not a stock market investment. It is not a stock market replacement. It is, if we're going from pure guarantees, you go cash, fixed annuities, fixed index annuities, all of which have a guarantee of principal. Structured products that don't have a guarantee of principal but have some downside protection, market. So it's not all the way out in the market. It's not a guaranteed account, but it does have downside protection. And it is a bond alternative for that intermediate time horizon of 5 to 7 years. Now, that's the ones that I think work the best are in an annuity wrapper. Why do I think they work the best? Because the buying power of an insurance company with $100 million putting this together is a lot better than the one-offs of me buying a $5,000 note or something of that nature. And so I think their buying power gives us better upside potential with the same downside potential. So I like the buying power that the annuity gives. Now, what is the biggest problem with annuities that everybody complains about?
Fees?
Fees. Annuities have fees, and that waters down my return. It steals money from me. In the products that I have seen, now I'm not going to say that every single product out there works this way, but in the products that I have seen, if you're using these structured capital type of areas, there are no fees. And the insurance company is making money internally, just like a bank makes money on what they've got on the CDs. They pay you 2% for 5 years. They're making money on the backside. They're not paying you 100% of what they're making. So there's a spread in how they create this. So they don't charge an ongoing fee for the annuity if all you're using are these structured products. But there is a surrender charge. You do have to be aware of that. If you try to get out too early, typically they're 5 to 7 year durations or 5 to 7 year time horizons on the surrender periods.
Great. Thank you.
Does that help you out?
Very much so.
Okay. And in about a month, if you just want to drive across the river and come down to Tigard area, we'll be talking, and you can ask questions more about that time in the Portland, Oregon area.
Yeah, and if you need some more information on that, hang on. We can have somebody talk to you about that. James, thanks very much for the call. Yeah, we haven't been talking about those products for all that long.
And he's right. We stopped talking about index annuities even for a while. When the cap rates came down, the insurance companies were having troubles putting together a product where they could make money and you could make money. But that was also when interest rates were a little bit higher. And so the relationship between the cap rate and the interest rate wasn't strong enough to really make the cap rate look attractive. The cap rates have come up a little bit, but that's not where the big advantages come from them right now. The interest rates have just gone down even further, and they've held the caps about the same or even come up a little bit.
Yeah, so
that relationship is better.
They're a little closer.
They're a little further apart. I mean, we've got the cap rates on the upside better.
That's what I mean, yes.
They're better in favor of the index annuity now than they were in the past when interest rates were higher.
Yeah. These are structured products.
Second one was a structured product.
That's what I'm saying. The one that you were just talking with James about is that. And I guess what I like about it is the fact that you can, there is some protection. If the market goes down, say you have a 10% buffer. If the market goes down, 12%.
You lose two.
I'm only losing two.
And
the best part about that is that I don't have to make up that 12%. I don't have to come back 15%.
I got to make up the
2%. I got to make up 2% to get back to even.
I haven't dug as big of a hole for myself as I would just in the market as a whole.
So
the only thing that matters are the two dates, the beginning of the measuring period and the ending of the measuring period. The market may go down 15, 20%, and then by the time the measuring date,
it's back
the
up.
Contract date, it's not a January to December 31st, it's contract date to contract anniversary date. If it's up, then that's the measuring points. They're only looking at those two dates on these.
Yeah, exactly. So if you need some more information on how these things work, we'll talk more about them as the days and weeks go on. But you can give us a call right here, or you can email Professor Plum if you go to wealthed.com. Because they need to send you all the proper stuff anyway to really talk about it. So we're out of time. I did not get to the rest of these emails. I apologize for that, as I always do. We're not here Monday live, but we will be back on Tuesday, so I will read some more of them on Tuesday. If you need the Brain Trust off the air at any time, you can call the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number, coincidentally, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.